Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I'm Keith Razor with my trusty sidekick, Alan Lee.
Hi, you're silvering away.
And we're here with our guest, the great Craig Shoemaker. How are you, buddy?
I thought it was Reza.
It is Reza.
I said Reza.
Wait, what?
You said Reza.
Reza, yeah. It's
yeah,
Reza.
Like you're in Boston and you're shaving with a razor.
Yeah, like the razor blade.
The razor.
Exactly.
Reza. But I thought it was Reza.
Wait, it is Reza.
You're not hearing? I said Reza.
Reza.
Yeah, it's spelled R-E-Z.
You keep saying, yeah, like that's the way I'm saying it. I'm not saying it right, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, how are
you're
you
saying? You're Reza, and I'm saying Reza.
Reza.
Oh, like with an E?
Yeah,
like,
yeah with an E. I thought it is with an E.
It is with an E, but you say it with an
like
A.
How are we supposed to know that?
Oh, I don't know.
You got my name right, though. That's pretty impressive. People look at Shoemaker and they go, we're here with Craig Schumacher, my favorite comedian. I go, no, I'm not your favorite, because it's not how it's said. There's no umlaut. I'm off the boat from Bavaria. I'm just a little shoemaker, a little cobbler.
So do people mess up your name a lot?
A lot.
Really?
They say Chris and Greg. I get a lot of Greg.
Yeah, because Craig and Greg kind
of. Yeah, they do sound a little bit alike.
Craigslist. How can anyone screw that up?
Thank God for Craigslist.
There you go.
Now all we need is a shoemaker's list, and we're all set.
There you go.
You just take your shoes to the maker. That's what I've had people. They're looking right at my name.
Yeah,
and they go, "Welcome to the hotel, Mr. Schumacher." And I said, "How do you make a? You don't take your shoes to the maker."
So does that like your like? Does it?
That is one of my bugaboos. Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
No, but you got it right.
Oh,
so I'm staying.
Oh, sweet. No, because like it does irritate me when people say my last name wrong. But I get it because, like, it's a, you know, it's spelled R-E-Z-A, but I say it as Reza. Like,
right. You know. But how can you say they get it wrong? I've been trying to get it wrong, and you still kept going, very good. You got it right.
Well, I don't know. Maybe my hearing's. Maybe it's just, I'm so used to it.
It's my Philly accent.
Yeah.
I mean, when I moved to California, they were like, I would order water. Yeah. And they'd bring me a block of wood, you know, but it's water. That was the first change I did make.
Yeah.
But everything else is the same. I still say. How do you say the word? You're in a golf. T O U R N A M E N T. I know that didn't sound. T O U R N A M E N T. You're in a golf. What?
Tour.
How do you say?
Tourist, right?
Tour. Ament.
Oh God. I'm sorry.
How do you say you're in a golf
club?
Like your uncle?
No, not a golf club.
A concert. A golf.
I will never play a game with you. Don't ever play charades with me. I would kill
just
you
destroy.
As my partner.
Just destroy you.
I spelled the word, and then I said golf blank, because I don't want to say how I pronounce it, and he says golf club. T-O-U-R is not club. How do you get club out of, just like you got Reza out of Reza.
Reza.
It's T-O-U-R-N-A-M-E-N-T. Okay, how do you say that word? Club.
Spell it again.
Oh, jeez.
Is this part of the autism thing?
No. I'm
slow?
I'm slow, yeah.
T-O-U-R-N-A-M-E-N-T. How do you pronounce that word?
Alan, you want it?
Tournament.
Tournament. Oh, tournament.
You say tournament?
Tournament.
Yeah. I say tournament.
Tournament. Together.
I don't say tournament. I say tournament because Springsteen doesn't go on tour. He goes on tournament, right?
That's true.
Like, come on, dudes, we're going on tour. One, two, three, fur. Fur. It's not fur, it's four. Keith's over there. That sounded good to me. Fur.
Well, whatever.
One, two, three, fur.
No, you know what it is? It's like when I'm laughing, like I'm just so funny. And then you were saying spell something. I'm like, oh, I don't. It's just hilarious.
Club.
And then Alan, like he tried to give me a hint. He's like,
I did.
He's lipping it over here.
Sinking.
He's all like, Patrick does one every year. I was like, what's that supposed to mean? And then,
does one every year. That made it even worse.
That was strange.
Well, no, because my my adopted uncle, he's not blood related, he's my dad's best friend, and we call him Uncle Patrick, Patrick Warburton, and he does a golf tournament every year.
Oh, I just ran into him at a golf tournament.
Tournament, yeah.
He played in one hole away from me, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nice guy. He's your uncle?
He's my adopted uncle, yeah.
Your adopted uncle. Yeah. Was there an official service?
No, no. No, it's just like he's been...
I've never heard the term adopted uncle. I've heard, like, you can do the air quotes. He's my uncle because he's my father's best friend. Because my kids all have a bunch of uncles and aunts and stuff like that.
Yeah, I could do the air
quotes. I had no relatives, so I just made everybody into one.
Yeah.
I didn't have a dad. I'd make other people into dads.
But you do golf?
Big time, yeah. Although I suck. That the one I just played in, I got a trophy for closest to the car. I'm a genius golfer. I'm like, they go, four! I go, five! I had a five! What do you mean, four? I'm just not... I mean, I can be good, though.
Yeah.
And I've actually had people, because there's a handicap. You call it a handicap, and you play to your handicap. And then you get strokes that way. Mm-hmm. And if you're betting, I piss everybody off, because I swing better than my actual handicap. But then I say, don't worry, I'll catch up to this, how bad I am, and... by the seventh hole, then they realize that I suck.
Yeah.
I feel bad when I play in these golf tournaments, the celebrity ones, because I'm not a big celebrity. Yeah. And even on Hollywood Squares, I was always Craig Shoemaker to block. one time I'm looking at a monitor. I'm the only way to go. She's like, I'll take Patrick Swayze to lose.
And he's dead.
So I'm not a big celebrity. Yeah. I know. Well, he was alive at the time. And maybe I better change the reference so no one says he's dead to remind everybody that how not funny it is. Someone's dead. So I play in these things, and they pay a lot of money, these foursomes, to play with the celebrity.
Oh, yeah. They pay like $10,000.
Yes. Nice. And they're looking at me, and I feel like I have to keep giving my credits. You know, because they're looking like three holes ahead going, there's a Hall of Famer, John Elway. And we're playing with this guy who played the Chuckle Hut last week in Wingaloogie, Michigan. We're playing with the comedian, and I'm not funny on the course.
Yeah.
That's to top it all off. I mean, I play in these things. And I curse. I get pissed off.
Yeah.
And they mic me up on these, like Fox mics me. I think I'm going to be funny.
Uh-huh.
Me and Ray Romano, both comics, not funny. Neither one of us. All he does, he's just analyzing. He sounds like everybody loves Rain Man.
Yeah, I hit that ball. You hit 242 yards, .3.
Very bland.
I feel bad for them. So then I have to tell jokes. And then I start cursing, but thank God the new host of the one I play in San Diego is Marshall Falk.
Yeah.
So I get to curse. I just go, Falk, Marshall, Falk! Falk, Marshall, Falk! Where's Marshall Falk? It's perfect.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. So I play in these things, and I'm so codependent anyway, and I just feel, they're paying a lot of money. But the comics, we really should be not. I don't want to use the word famous, but people should have a little more respect. I mean, what we do is a lot more difficult than they're talking about. Oh, I want to play with this actor. Now they're reading other people's lines, and they've got people with makeup and cameras, and they've all this. We're up there raw.
Yeah.
So you would think we would be at the top of the ladder, but we're at the court jester level.
It's like court jester.
I like that.
Yeah, we're court jesters. No. Amuse me, fool.
That's great.
I totally agree with that, because I'll tell you a story. Like a couple years at this golf tournament, because what I do is I drive around the celebrities and I protect them at Pat's golf tournament. And one year I got Dr. Gadget. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got him, and I didn't even know anything about him.
So you were upset too. I might not be paying money, but I'm not going to drive this guy around all day. I'm here as a volunteer. I want to be with somebody big,
exactly,
like Uncle Patrick, or adopt another uncle. But you're not going to adopt Uncle Gadget.
Exactly.
Right. That's what you're thinking.
The golfers, they were totally like, we paid money and we don't even know who this guy is, And so I'm trying to start a conversation with them because, I'm driving. There's two guys behind me. Dr. Gadget's on my right. And I was like, so Dr. Gadget, what exactly are you known for? Awkward, I'm breaking the ice. And he tells me, and I was like, I'm the kid from Two and a Half Men. And everyone turned to me and I was like, so wait. The guy who driving's the celebrity? And I was like...
You're from Two and a Half Men?
No, but I was making a joke.
Oh, okay. Jeez. You had me for a second. I'm going,
yeah, you really...
I'm really look like him? And I thought he was into Christ.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like a Christ guy would be a comedian.
Exactly. So then, like, everyone thought, like, I was the... But I was like, no, no, I was just joking. Dr. Gadget's a celebrity. And they're like, oh... It was heartbreaking for them because, you know, they paid all this money to...
Where's his golf tournament that I've never been invited to? Apparently, I'm not as big as Gadget. you know, I got these Emmys and all these awards. It means nothing, but Gadget. He gets on the list, and I don't. Tell Uncle Patrick I want to play next year.
Here you go.
You want to play this year or next year?
It's happening this year?
It happens second week of March.
Put them on.
I'm all over it on, like, a Monday. Where do they play?
Palm Springs.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they put you up in all that stuff?
I have no idea about that stuff.
Listen, if I can give you any advice in comedy, it's get the free. Anything free.
Oh, no.
Oh, you should see me. No. You see this water bottle? You know why I haven't opened it? Because I'm taking it home to my family. This is how I think. This is how I mentor people. I say, you've got to grab the water bottles. Keep them sealed. Stuff your bag with them. And then all of the other little extras. It's nothing to do with comedy. But you just got to have these. I grew up poor, too.
When
I was a kid, I didn't have a dad, so we were very poor. I used to think the word evict meant move. I thought they were the same word. Because I go, look, Mommy, here's the eviction truck. And we'd just pack up and move to another place.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Wow. That's how I got started in comedy.
There you go. But funny stuff, evictions.
Not funny at the time.
It's not funny when you're an adult, you know?
No, not at all.
But, I mean, I think maybe if you're a kid, if you move around, you don't really know exactly what's going on.
No, well, you have to adjust to all the different neighborhoods, and then you get beat up. I was in Philly on the corner cracking homeless. So, of course, they were, you know, they would beat you up if you go, and you have to adjust.
Yeah.
That adjust means take a punch. That's basically how. And wedgies.
But you went to.
And I was really little.
You went to Temple, though.
I did. Well, so. I was grown by then.
Yeah.
I wasn't still little.
It was big.
And then you just switch dorms or whatever it is. It's your choice. It wasn't like I was being booted when I was at Temple as well.
The dorm.
But yeah, that was actually in a really bad neighborhood. Killings outside. I didn't want to go outside.
We should probably tell the folks at home what Temple is.
It's a university.
Yeah.
In fact, it's where Bill Cosby went.
I took the words right out of my mouth.
That's what he was saying. But I know Temple because Eddie Jones, who's my favorite basketball player
of
all time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, there's a reference. Yeah. Eddie Jones went there and with Aaron McKee. And they were both great basketball players. But it's funny you should say I am not – recognized ever, and I mean ever. I'm talking, I've been peeing next to people after my hour and a half show, and they go, wasn't he great? I get this all the time. I was in an elevator with six people 10 minutes after my show. Oh my God, that guy was great. Okay, he's all right, press six. So I always, like, I just play it off, so I want to hear what they say unsolicited. And it's always nice things and stuff, but they don't know it's me. I have this white guy look.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to this guy at a playground. Our kids were playing together, you know, just hanging out. And we get to talk about Temple. He recognized my accent, tournament. And so we start talking about Temple. And we start saying, Bob Saget went there, and Bill Cosby, and Hall & Oates. And yeah. And the guy says, he turns right to me and he goes, do you know Craig Shoemaker went to Temple? he says it to Craig Shoemaker. And I said, yeah, I know. I went there for a few years. And it was the weirdest thing to be – talk about not recognized. The guy's telling me that I went to Temple.
But see, like, if that would have happened to me, like, and this is just where my sense of humor comes in, like, you know, if I went to Temple and they'd be like, oh, yeah. Did you know Keith Raisin went to Temple? I'd just be like, who's that?
I think I did do that for a second. I shined him on for like 1 second. And it was so embarrassing, though, to release this truth that it's me that he's talking to. I was actually going to play it off like, not even acknowledge it. Yeah, I think I've heard of Craig Shoemaker. But that's the thing is, I'm not even famous enough to do that. That's what was weird about it is he didn't go, have you ever heard of Craig Shoemaker, the comedian? Or he didn't even clarify. He goes, you know, Craig Shoemaker went there. Like it was an impressive thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm below Sister Sledge when it comes to that. They went there too, by the way. We are family.
We are family.
They went to Temple. Yeah. And Hall & Oates. I got a note one time from John Oates. Yeah. And it says, hey, it's John Oates, Hall & Oates. We listened to you on our tour bus. You're the funniest. And I wrote back, yeah, right. I wrote back, yeah, this isn't John Oates. I couldn't believe that he'd be writing me. So It really was. And he left me tickets at the Greek Theater. And we were filming a movie at the time, a movie that I wrote and produced called Totally Baked. And I said, hey, you want to be in my movie? Uh-huh. He showed up at the set the next day.
Really?
I just wrote a scene for him. It was a stoner movie, so I could write anything.
Yeah.
So I wrote a scene where, and he says, nobody recognizes me anymore because I don't have a mustache. So we went over to some guy with hair, actually your color.
Oh, wonderful.
And we cut the guy's hair and slapped it on his lip. Oh. We glued it to his lip. And because it's a stoner movie, we wrote the mustache as a character. Yeah. Like nine different people read it, wore it.
Wore it.
Yeah, nine different people had this mustache. And we were thinking that people would take like a toke every time they see the the Yotes mustache.
Yeah.
So then we couldn't afford a wig for me because I played Hall, because Hall couldn't make it. So it was just Oates. So I had a girl like on a stool dangle her head over. You know, so I had blonde hair. That was my wig. And these guys were stoned in the movie. And I go, hey, man, I think I see Hall & Oates. And it was me and Oates singing Maneater. Just wrote it into the script. It was awesome.
We actually have a Twitter question if you want to take it.
I'll take anything. What do you got?
Craig, do you prefer doing stand-up with facial hair or without facial hair?
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Interesting. I've never been asked that question. So we're going to go original number one question of the night. It's the only one of the night, but still. Do I prefer? I will tell you that... Some of me, old school, has a belief that I heard one time that facial hair is no good. Uh-huh. However, Zach Galifianakis screwed that one up. I swear to God, there people should pay him money.
Yeah.
They have all these commercials. They're all Zach Galifianakis lookalikes. They should pay him money because they would have no career if it wasn't for this guy.
Exactly, yeah.
But it used to be you shouldn't have facial hair. Yeah. You couldn't name a comic. You know, George Carlin had the beard, but he didn't start off that way.
No, he did not.
Richard Pryor had a mustache. Mm-hmm. But not a lot of facial hair. But I did go through the facial hair time of my life because I had a fatter face and I wanted to look thinner. Yeah. That's how you do it.
There you go.
Yeah, instead of losing the weight, you just go, oh, I'll just grow a beard. This is much easier.
Easiest diet.
But I probably prefer without. I don't know. Maybe more people would recognize me with.
Yeah.
But, I had a goatee thing. My wife actually surprisingly likes it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't think. I wouldn't want to kiss that.
I don't understand.
And listen, when you're married a long time, you don't want any obstacle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
To making out. Well, you don't want. I already have the obstacle of the kid with the breastfeeding. I said, enough of this. I said, it's just like the cock blocker of all time. I said, how long are you going to be on that? And I was like, and they've never been this big, by the way.
Yeah.
So let me in. So I said, you need to wean him off. You need to wean him off. I said, he's too old. She goes, how do you know he's too old? I said, he unhooked your bra with one hand. I can't even do that. I didn't want facial hair to have her have an excuse to not have sex. We're going away this week, my first vacation ever with her.
Oh, really?
Without
kids.
Great. Yeah,
fantastic.
I got a load of kids.
Wow.
So,
there you go.
Yeah. Well, you just had a kid a couple years
two,
ago.
Yeah, 2 years. She's 2 years old. And something else, man.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, terrible
times. I had a lot of money because I did a book signing today and they sold a bunch of books. And I was like, counting my money. She literally ran over to it. I'm going, oh my God, she's a future stripper. She's like, tell me to make it rain. And sits on my lap, too. Gave me a little lap dance. I was like, that's crazy. Yeah, she's a wild one. Wow. She really does have that wild eye. You can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm nervous. Of course, I had her late in life. So it's great because I'll be walking her down the aisle in a walker. So she can do whatever she wants. You know, I'm not going to be – I'll be at the door. With, you know, they say you're going to be the shotgun.
Yeah.
No, I'll be shooting myself at that point. I mean, she's – yeah, I had my kids late. And I have two kids in diapers. I'm about 3 months from being in my own –
yeah.
My own diapers.
Well, see, it's funny that you mentioned the book signing because I know you've written a couple books. And,
yeah. Well, I wrote two children's books, and now this one's a serious book, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Is that the one Whoopi Goldberg and
Dr. Drew's reading it for the second time, he told me. He's getting. He says it's paying a lot of dividends for his own relationships.
Nice.
Yeah, it's about actually finding love in your life. Mm. And I have this character, the Love Master, which is this Lothario, and he's my dark side. Because all the girls would use the F word with me when I was growing up. You know what that is? Friend. I was always the friend. And you know how women go to the bathroom together, the posse pee? They would take me with them.
Oh, yeah.
That's what a geek I was. And they would talk about all the guys, all these bad guys. And that's how I was like, underneath, I'm going, I'll fix you up. Oh, yeah, no problem. I fixed them up with all the guys. And I'm thinking, give the geek a chance, baby. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh baby.
Oh, one night with me, you'll be sweating like Donald Trump at a Mexican hat dance, baby. Oh, yeah. I'll be shaking like Jared Fogle in a prison shower. Yeah. That's right. $5 foot long, baby. So... that's how he, by the way, it seems a little creepy doing it with two dudes. That's all that's in the room right now. I had to look elsewhere. I had to look at the plant. Yeah, I could not look you guys in the eyes when I'm doing Love Master.
A little strange.
But the book is actually called Love Mastered with an apostrophe D, A Digital Journey to Love and Happiness. Yes. And it was a strange thing that happened. I just don't believe in the... myopia of the arts. Yeah. I don't think you should put anyone in a category of he's just a comic.
Nice.
We were talking earlier. You said, "Oh, you're on Bold and the Beautiful." Yeah, sure.
Yeah, soap opera. I was shocked. Yeah. I said, "Wow."
Well, of course, I did play a porn producer where I got to be the love master. That's why they hired me. I was like, they let me ad lib too.
That's right.
I was like, hey, listen, buddy, you're selling her a mattress. Just remember two things, firm and firm. They let me keep that into the soap. They don't care. Nobody watches. No, FCC's not even watching. You do whatever. Yeah, I was on like five episodes of Bold and the Beautiful. It was a pretty cool thing.
No but General Hospital.
But the thing is with the – so this woman reached out to me on Facebook. She's a fan, you know, newer, 3,000 miles away.
Yeah.
She said, I thought you know, want to know Matt and I are divorcing after 30 years of marriage, and something compelled me, the artistic inspiration, whatever it was. I said, share with her your pain, because I also have an ex-wife, and I found love in my wife now, but my ex-wife, it's a very painful divorce. It's 10 years old. We were in court yesterday still. Yeah. Oh. Yesterday, yeah. So... it's about taking the high road and but really how love manifests in your life is to clear out things and to take that high road. And that's how I live now. And it's in the book. And I didn't know it would be a book. So it's our exchange on Facebook. That's nice. What the book is. It's all time stamped over a year's time. And since none of your audience is going to buy it, I'll spoil the ending. I end up – she says during – I became a muse for her. And she expressed herself as she had never expressed herself before. And I tend to do that with people. I actually have my doctorate now. And I see clients and things. And I just brought it out of her where she said he was abusive. I was never in love with him in 30 years and I have regrets. I married him. He proposed in a bar. He was drunk. He's a drunk and all. And I said, no. I said, I see a vision for you. You're going to have – and she's over 50. She goes, it's over for me. And I said, no, it'll happen. I said, something's going to happen. Now, I will admit, though, I helped make it happen. I fixed her up with my accountant that I've known since kindergarten in Philadelphia. And now they're madly in love and getting married.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Pretty wild ending to that I couldn't have written. I just got out of the way and let the source speak. You know what I mean?
Sounds like a movie.
It could be, you know, but you never know. You never know who listens to this show.
True.
I'm sure Steven Spielberg he's got this tuned in right now.
Well, no, because it could become a movie. You could write a movie for it.
I guess I could. Now, selling a movie is a different story. Yeah, I've written a few and sold them. You know how I sold the last one? I paid for it. Me and the guy that my tree guy. And it was about pot. I'm looking outside of him. There's my tree guy. He's charging me a lot of money. He's going to have a lot of money. And he knows horticulture.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect horticulture.
So then my friend from AC/DC, I sent it to him. He's the lead singer, sang at my wedding and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And he went nuts for them. He goes, my son, it's fantastic. Can I write some songs for it? I go, sure. Meanwhile, I had my old assistant who's doing the music for it. I go, yeah, let's shove that aside. Yeah, we'll take some AC/DC songs. So there's some three original AC/DC songs are in the movie. Sure. It's the only place you can hear them. It's called Totally Baked.
Wow.
Don't go Netflix and get it for free. Go to my garage, okay? Yeah. CraigSchumacher.com. Get it from me. I have a stack of them at home. And I'll sign it. Totally Baked. It's a pretty funny movie. Naked Women. Yeah. That was weird, too. It's like, you know, I'm a suburban guy in a minivan pulling up the strip club so I can cast the naked women. It's hard to cast naked women.
Yeah.
So I'm there with a roll of 20s and a script. Wait, so while you're down there, can you read these lines?
So wait, did you actually go to strip clubs?
Oh, yeah, I did. It's a true story. Yeah. Wow. Everything I say, by the way, people don't think I exaggerate. Everything I say is actually true, except for the Love Master.
Oh, no,
it's the only exaggeration.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I've never heard of like that, to go to a strip club to see, you know, cast naked women. And
well, we had a problem. As a matter of fact, this idiot that it was originally with National Lampoon, and there's a lot of guys in this town are like losers. And they become producers so they can meet hot chicks.
Yeah.
That's just what they do. They don't have much skill. This guy goes, I'll take over that. Because we were casting real – we had 100 actors in this movie.
Yeah.
And we cast like really big actors and stuff. And I said, okay, you can handle it. And I go to – it was actually at my old house. We cast it at my old house. And literally I walked in and it was like a Fellini film. Ooh. There was a girl who had – she had fresh scars on her knees. I think someone did her in my driveway. She had like gravel pieces in her knees.
Jeez.
Then there was a gigantic 300-pound woman dressed as a nun. I said, somebody, I actually was looking for cameras. Someone's punking me on this.
Yeah.
These women want to be nude. So I had to take over myself. I said, that's it. I'm taking over. And then he had a woman outside. He was trying to teach her how to act. She was right off the boat from another country. And I'm trying to, and I'm so codependent. I'm trying to act with her as the casting director. As the producer, I was trying to help her in her acting.
Yeah.
And she kept looking at him and goes, why does he do that? Why does he act with me? Because I was trying to give her the lines in a real way. Yeah. You know, she goes, he's looking at me funny. And he's trying to get her to, oh my God. Oh, he just wanted to get her in a sack.
Oh,
and so that was a nightmare. So I had to cast. And as a matter of fact, one of the strippers became a legitimate actress.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She has 8x10s now and a bow tie. it's a whole other world. I introduced her to the world outside of stripping.
So you gave her
real
that
acting.
Career.
Yes.
And that was not the Love Master.
No, I did not let master that. Oh. I've helped a lot of people with their careers.
Sure.
You wouldn't believe the amount of people that have opened for me.
Yeah,
Dave Chappelle when he was 13.
Wow.
First gig ever was opening for me as I was a headliner in Washington, D.C. He was 13, 14 years old.
Wow.
And amazing. I knew he was going to be big.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Whitney Cummings.
Whitney?
Yeah, I used to have her go on the road with me a little bit.
Great. Oh, my God. We've been trying to get Whitney to do the show.
Well, I used to have her open for me. I couldn't get her to do my damn show.
Wow.
I don't know how to get a hold of her anymore.
Yeah,
maybe I'll find her on Tinder.
We'll try to help you.
But she actually said on a podcast the other day, this is my claim to fame, I guess. My new claim to fame is I'm the only guy that would have her open for me that didn't hit on her.
Oh,
I think she told Joe Rogan that. Someone told me. I didn't hear the podcast, but I did not go for it.
Oh, that's cool.
Little does she know, I just masturbated to her. I just kept it to myself. I painted it on the back of my eyelids. Now, I'm just kidding, Whitney. I know you're a big Keith Reza fan. I know you're listening right now.
Right at this moment.
Right at this moment, I'm sure she's listening. As she's promoting her HBO special, she goes, wait a second. I have an hour at 8 o'clock. I got to listen to Keith Reza.
Turn everything off.
Are you kidding me? I know. Hey, you're going to cancel the press. I never miss a week. I'm sure Whitney's saying that right now. And she heard you say that she wants to be on the show. But she's open for me and on the road and selling my merchandise. I can't believe that. It was only 10 years ago.
Oh.
Now she's has her own HBO special and television shows and everything else. And I'm doing your show.
Life. Oh, life.
That's how life works, baby.
Oh,
I'm just flatlined.
There you go.
I went to a nice place and I flatlined.
No, but
it's still a good career, though. I mean, it's great to be flat like this.
Sure.
It's wonderful. No peaks and valleys.
What a dream.
But see, you know what's cool?
I'm actually going to crack this water bottle.
Okay.
I just want to know, do you have another one that I can take home sealed?
I'll for sure get you
I'll
another
get it
one.
For you.
Because my son's on to me because I refill the bottles.
I don't click them.
So unless he hears a click, he knows that I filled it, and he will not do it. He's a germphobe.
Yeah.
So I have to bring him home sealed bottles.
Yeah.
Can I get that out of doing this show?
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to get any more Twitter followers. Can I get some Twitter followers out of this?
We'll get you.
The Love Master.
Yes, indeed.
Take me to 13,000 today.
How many
I'm at 12,900.
12,900?
Yeah.
Oh, 100 more.
By the way, I cannot believe the popularity of Twitter. You're speaking in 140 characters. There's no connection anymore. I mean, with people, I cannot do things in 140 characters. Now, I try, and I'm, You know, I'm funny on there, and that's the other thing is they want you to be funny, and meanwhile they steal your jokes.
Yeah,
it's just perfect for that. I had a friend of mine who used to open for me, actually a great writer, Mike Black, and he said, "Don't
Mike Black. Oh my God,
he says,
I love
don't
Mike
put
Black,
your
Mike
stuff Black. On there. Yeah. Don't put your stuff on there. That's don't even, you put your best stuff on there no, because no. People are just looking for that." But I cannot believe the popularity of Twitter. Sometimes I was at this volleyball game with my son. And his other kids looking at me. I could tell he was, like, nervous.
Uh-huh.
He goes, "Hi, Mr. Shoemaker. You're verified on Twitter." You know, I've got, like, all these awards and stuff and every single network. This kid, like, flipped and couldn't speak to me because I'm verified on Twitter.
Maybe he had Asperger's. Like, maybe the kid had Asperger's.
Is that's what happens?
Yeah, is that where you go with that?
No, seriously. Because, like, when I first meet people, I'm very shy and stuff, and I stutter. When I first met
so you... So am I!
Yeah, but when I first met you, I was shy and stuttering and weird and stuff, and you probably don't even remember.
No. Everybody is when they meet people. Yeah. Look, I was so bad the other day. Mick Jagger was from me to you away, sitting at my friend's house at a party. I could not even... I was so bad, I couldn't even say anything to him, so I had to do a selfie with him in the background. So he had I did an accidental photo bomb.
That's a great deal. That's a great idea.
Yeah, but he's all fuzzy and stuff, and you can see him looking at me going, "You think I'm fooled by that?" Like, no one's ever done that. Then I'm trying to, like, pretend I'm on the phone. I have the phone up to my ear, and I'm clicking. And I got the ground.
There you go.
I said, "There's Mick Jagger's shoelace." Shoes. I got his shoelace. I failed. Big fail.
Oh, dear.
No,
but I couldn't speak to him.
Yeah.
You just, when there's celebrities, you know, it's hard to, and this kid thought I was a celebrity, so because I'm verified on Twitter. I have nothing to do with anything he's ever seen me do.
Yeah.
I guess that's a status symbol now.
Well, see, it's funny about, because I'm more of a Facebook guy. Like, I could get you a lot of Facebook friends.
Let's do it. I'm on Craig Shoemaker there.
Yeah.
20,000 there.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so you can push me to
check that
out. But Twitter, it's very hard, because it's like, Twitter is so popular, and then, like, after shows, like, when I sell stuff or I pass out cards,
yeah,
it has my Twitter information.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook. I get no Twitter followers, but I get all these Facebook friend requests.
Oh, I love. Oh, well, I've been in Maximum for years.
Yeah.
Want to hear my vetting process? Because my first vetting process, I let everyone in. I was like John McCain vetting Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
That's how I had no vetting process whatsoever. Anyone was in.
Yeah.
So then it filled, and I didn't realize it's 5,000 maximum. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did because I
people tried, can't even request me now.
No, I tried adding you like 3 years ago. It says friend request sent, and then like whenever someone comments or but I'm following you, so like whenever you comment something, I say, "Oh, hey, when can I open for you?" You always like it, and then like I'll say, "Hey, when can you accept my friend request?" You always like it, so I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
I do. Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, especially.
Well, let me ask you this: I have a new vetting process because I'm trying to get rid of people.
Yeah.
So first of all, it starts with dead.
Okay.
I give them a week.
Dead.
I give them a week. Once they die, I give them a week, and then they go. Because I need room for new people.
Exactly.
And you and Heaven are not going to be, you know, liking my Facebook posts.
Go. How can you tell?
Or coming to my shows.
How can you tell if someone's dead, though?
Because I'll find out they're dead. I mean, even friends. I mean, real friends, when they die, it's like, I feel bad. I might keep a real friend for like a month. And maybe post a couple times.
Just out of respect.
Yeah, I'll post to them, "Hey, miss you."
Yeah.
What a stupid way to talk. Like, I'm talking to my friend Golds by Facebook.
It's like, gonna unfriend you now.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I said, "Look, you know I love you. I was with you all the way." And
now I've got a plus 10.
Somebody's calling me. I thought it was... you know, it's my friend saying, "I cannot believe you scored... the Keith Reza show."
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, not really. That was a joke. I love that I appealed to your ego.
Just literal.
You really believe that? Okay. So, wow. Boy, comics live in denial, don't they?
It's delusionary.
We live in this delusionary world. So I have a new vetting process. That you're not going to like this process.
Okay.
So I want... If they are going to be, because the friends you can get to people easier, the fan page people don't see it as much. No. And by the way, these algorithms, if you ever promote yourself, it'll be seen by 5 people.
Oh.
You see the amount of people in this room right now? That's how many people see it if you put a .com on there and they're on to you.
Yeah.
So the only things that can get out are things that have no promotion whatsoever. So you have to be really, really clever on the fan page. The other one is starting to get pretty bad too. So you can't even – people can't even see your stuff if you say anything. Like, I'm always promoting, like, Canyon Club. I'm there every Wednesday in Agora. Nothing. No one's even seeing it, liking it. They don't even – and we have the best comedians.
Sure.
Because I get all my buddies and stuff and big headliners. And
we got to get that out.
They're, but right they're here. Not seeing. Well, now that I'm on this show,
it's all over the place.
Yeah. It's all over the world.
Yeah, that's
so
when I up the numbers by three.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
So here's I am going to be honest with you. My vetting process on getting people. I have to clean house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So you're not.
I'm not good enough to be in.
No. It's not you. If I see someone.
Sure.
In the little picture. Because
sure.
How do you decide who you're going to let in? Or you yeah. know? And I don't want to sound like some snob. It's just the fact that it's 5,000 maximum.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That's all you get.
I'm not taking it personally.
So what's my next one? There's first dead. And the next process I have is if they have a microphone, they're out. Because I'm not interested in you working a hooky lau room.
No,
you know, I don't want you to invite me to your shows. Okay? Because I'm not going to go. I do not leave my house. I love to be home.
I don't blame you.
And on my nights off, which I cannot believe I'm here, by the way.
Well, thank you very
much. This is major for me. I'd say goodbye to my family. I said, where are they going? I said, I'm going to go do a show I could not have turned down.
Well, you rescheduled
the Tonight Show?
Like four
I go, no, not the Tonight Show. I'm doing it tonight, but it's not the, and it is a show, but I'm not doing the Tonight Show. So if I see someone with that microphone with that look like, hey, you know, like they just were surprised that the photograph took their 8x10.
Yes.
Hey, they're like they just walked into the shot. Hey, there's a camera. Ah! No, I'm not believing you, and you're out.
Yeah.
So that's my next. That's really, like so that. Does your photograph have anything that would like signify that you're a comedian?
Probably.
Yeah.
What do you mean probably? You don't know what your own photograph is?
I could look.
You said you're on it all the time. I could look. Do you have other people working on your site?
No. I have one.
You're in charge of your site, but you don't know what your photograph is.
This is my photograph.
Is that a comedian?
Oh, my God. This is the exact type of person I would never, ever accept a friend request. You not only are holding a microphone, that's A. B, you have another hand in the shot to look like you're gesturing something really funny. And C, it's about 20 years ago.
No.
This picture's about 20 years ago.
No, that was about 3 months ago. I never...
There's no way that's 3 months.
You changed
months.
Your hair.
Yeah, it was...
You definitely changed your hair.
It was
a lot.
For the Autism Awareness Show. Oh,
that was the Autism Awareness Show?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like it's the hearing impaired show because you have your hand up to your ear going.
No,
it's the universal.
I was probably telling.
Look at it. Am I right? Isn't that what it is?
It's a kind of a visual. You're holding it like you can't hear out of the.
It probably. I was probably telling my hearing aid joke when they took that picture.
Oh
okay. But guess what? You had other choices when you weren't doing the hearing aid bit. Where you would not have the hand up by your ear, hoping for a friend request to be accepted with that photograph.
Minus a hand.
No one else who's accepting your friend request who has all these lists of people to decide on, they're not going to go, I want the guy.
I'm afraid.
I guess he's doing a hearing aid bit.
No. We follow each other on Twitter. Yeah. I'm happier on that because I think Twitter is more
personal.
I'm
afraid to show him mine because mine's free. Can you get mine?
Does it have a microphone?
No. See, mine does not have a... Sure.
We could do it.
Well, we're probably friends already.
See, yes. There you go.
If you just send me. And by the way, you have an advantage.
Yes.
What is your ethnic background?
Well, it's very interesting. I was born in New York.
I'll decide that.
Born in New York City. My mother is Cuban and my father is Chinese.
Okay, that is very interesting.
I'm Cubanese.
Okay, you're Cubanese. Yeah, okay.
It's a little lead-in.
You, I would accept.
See?
I will tell you why.
Thank you.
That's number one on my list. I want minorities. I want a rainbow coalition here.
I'm a twofer.
I'm tired of white people. I've been around them. I am one. I'm just done. I've heard from them. They own the voice. They own the airwaves. Yeah, every network.
Uh-huh.
Big time white people.
There you go.
You know, that's who's running the show. The sponsors are white corporations. I want to hear from people that aren't heard. That's why I definitely, you, a Cubanese, you might be at the top of my list.
Thank you. And I'm not far from Philadelphia in New York City.
Okay, that's so true. That gets you nowhere with Philadelphia. We hate New York. We have a big little dick syndrome.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia because we're just 90 miles south. That's right. You know,
the train comes.
Yeah, and it's we're not as big, and no one knows about Philadelphia. The biggest Temple alumni is Craig Shoemaker and Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby. That's not good.
Cosby has bumped up the story.
The awareness of Temple of where not to go unless you want date rape.
Now, Craig, we had another Twitter question. Do you ever want to do a sitcom called The Love Master?
Yeah, well, we've actually tried in the past. Mm-hmm. And people have said to me for years, why don't you have a sitcom? I've answered that question so many times. One time I was talking to my agent on a Beverly Hills like a bench outside of his office. And I said, geez, Matt, a lot of people say this to me. I said, what are you guys going to do? No sooner did I say, as if I cued them and paid them, someone walks up, Craig Shoemaker, how come you don't have a sitcom? I said, there you go, Matt. And I still don't have one. That was 10 years ago. I never had anybody develop it for me, and it probably won't happen now. I have some other – I have 15 shows that I developed that are ready to roll, and I retired from stand-up for a little while. I was getting in offices and pitching, and a few of them are going, and you never know where they're going to go. None of them are sitcoms, though. They're all reality.
Yeah.
I do have one, though, that's no, – I'm not going to announce it on the air and watch people
– Too many people would call it.
Yeah. But I would love it if it's all about the – packaging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if I'm with someone who believes in me, I'll write it with them and develop it with them, but they'd have to be at a pretty high level to get me into the network.
Okay.
Because I only have 12,900 Twitter followers until tonight.
There you go.
Until tonight. This could kick me.
This could boom right over the
Well, I can't wait to go home and see if I've lost some, I will kick your ass. If I go down tonight,
that'd be horrible.
I will come after you. That I drove here from Westlake Village.
I so appreciate that.
Yeah.
But no, I don't make a lot of promises on the show, but if I ever get a sitcom, you're in it, buddy.
Oh, thank you. He's got Whitney Cummings told me the same thing. I wasn't even an extra.
No.
I wasn't even in her audience. I don't know if I have her number anymore.
No, but
so they let her open for me.
No, but I'm serious because When you have Asperger's, you don't lie.
You
and so
sincere.
When I say something, I'm being honest with you.
I didn't know. I should hang out with more Asperger's. Maybe I have it. My sister told me I have it.
And then another
She did. She told me I have it.
I'll tell you
some symptoms that she says that I have.
Tell us.
You can tell me if I have Asperger's.
Wait, you want me to diagnose you?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. My sister claims that I have it. She says it like jokey, but she says, oh, my God, you have Asperger's.
I've been accused of that.
So I'll raise it.
Maybe I have it. Listen, if it can get me more gigs, I'll go with the Asperger tour.
Go for it.
I can get a lot of people with Asperger's to come see me.
Thousands.
So I have a great, like, a freak memory for things.
Oh, that's done.
Bingo.
But a freak memory. Like, I'll tell you your locker number from high school.
Like, you remember every single
one. Everything from the past. Not from 2 minutes ago.
Yeah. Not like Dustin Hoffman in the rain. What's that movie?
Rain Man.
Okay, yeah.
Definitely remember that. Yeah. No, it's not like that.
No, not quite.
That's not autism.
No, it's not. I don't know what it is. I just threw it in there. You know, what the fuck?
I'm glad you brought that reference from 1987 that had nothing to do with Asperger's.
Why not?
Well, actually, he did have a memory.
That's what I meant.
But Asperger's wasn't officially diagnosed until 95.
Oops. So is that right?
It was off by about 10 years.
So my sister claims, and I just have – so is that one of the qualifications?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Truly.
Why else is she saying it about me? What are some other qualifications? Let's see if I have it. This is wonderful that I'll walk out of here with a disease.
Yeah.
Or
a disease.
Disorder, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, you're dis-ease. It's a little dis-ease. You know why?
Social.
You're dis-eased. You're not at the best of ease.
No.
Right?
But no, a lot of
don't get offended now.
No.
It's dis-ease. Okay, so go ahead.
No, like a lot of people with Asperger's lack eye contact. Like, see, the reason why I'm so good on it, like with you guys, is Alan's one of my best friends. You know, I've seen you do stand-up. I do stand-up.
And I'm comfortable.
Yeah, and you're comfortable.
People have told me that. Well, now you said I can't look at you.
See, no.
There you go. Just look down.
I only have that with the homophobes.
Yeah. What?
Homophobic people, I can't look at them in the eye because I think that they think.
You want a piece of the love master.
I think that I just think I overanalyze, which could be another Asperger's thing.
Yeah.
I overanalyze and I go,
there you go.
Wait a minute, that eye contact was too. Now all of us are paranoid. I'm not even looking at either one of you for the rest of the show. Okay, so that's another one. All right, I sort of have that one. So what's another one?
Okay, well, like I'll tell you an Asperger story that actually reflates with you if you want to hear it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, about. 5-6 years ago, you did the Brea Improv, and I collect autographs. That's part of my Asperger's. Like, and, you know, kids would collect rocks and stuff. I would collect autographs.
Okay, I've got that one.
Yeah. And I asked you for an autograph, and you were very polite. You gave it to me and stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess the Improv didn't let people, like, you weren't really shaking hands with anybody and stuff.
That's
like,
not true.
Yeah, no, you weren't selling anything on the. It was a late show and stuff. I guess
it was the one time that I left, because I never do. I talk to every single person.
Yeah, well, that's just what they said, and I waited in the green room, and like, because I was a big fan of your stand-up, you came out and gave me your autograph.
Okay.
And then the next,
so I was nice, thank God.
No, you are.
All right.
And then like the next night, I was on an 11 o'clock show. At the Improv, and then they're like, oh, you can't see, like, they thought I was there to see you again, and they're like, oh, you can't see Craig.
Now, just remember, I had nothing to do with that.
Oh, no.
That's so not like me.
No, but I'm just telling you.
People always go, hey, man, can I see you backstage? I go, no, I'll be right out there.
No.
I go hang out with everybody.
I didn't mean it like that. I just meant, like, that's an Asperger quality, like, collecting autographs and wanting to meet somebody.
I did that my whole childhood.
Yeah.
Got me in trouble.
And then
one time I used to collect the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. I still have them.
Oh, do you?
Ron Poe James. No one's ever heard of him. Number 27.
Oh.
I played for the Eagles for like a couple of years.
Yeah.
He got his autograph.
I'm very excited. Oh, I have him. I have everybody's autograph. Wee Willie Weber, our local television host in Philadelphia. I've got his autograph. Still, to this day, I collected them all.
That's cool.
I have stacks and stacks of
them. That's
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I have a stack,
like, really obscure. Autographs. Even other people would get them for me, which sort of doesn't really count. If someone hands you an autograph that they had done for you, it's like, oh, I didn't meet the person. There's no significance to this. It's just a piece of paper that your friend could have signed.
That's not all together.
Yeah, but I still kept those.
I sent my girlfriend once because we saw David Spade. And I sent my girlfriend to get David Spade's autograph, and like I'm like. Spade's one of my favorite stand-ups, and I was, like, really nervous to meet him. And this was before I met him several times, but, like, when I first saw him. And she's like, okay, what do you want me to say? I was like, oh, just tell him your name's Keith and ask him to sign.
Little different looking.
Spade's easy, though.
Yeah, so.
There's some guys that are jokes, but they Spade's an easy one.
Yeah.
So. When I first arrived in Los Angeles, I went to a show. Like, I went to a show.
Yeah.
And it paid the money. The Comedy Magic Club, which was... It's if you don't know about it, it's a temple. Yeah, it's a temple for comedians. It's
Jay Leno.
Jay Leno's been there the last 30 years every Sunday. Tells you what kind of place this is, and it's just an iconic place for every comedian has played there. Always they work out their sets there and stuff. And I went in 1987. I just arrived in here in a young buck from Philadelphia. Yeah. And I lived in New York for a little while, but back to Philadelphia. Then I moved out here, and it was my first show I ever saw. And it was Dennis Miller was the headliner.
Wow.
And Dana Carvey was the middle act, who was just doing the church lady.
Nice.
Wow. The place went nuts for him. And the opening act, this unknown kid named David Spade. And he was so young looking. His first line was, hey, I'm David Spade. I'm 10. And he goes... My mom just dropped me off. She's at Ralph's shopping right now. and I remember sitting there, and I thought, oh, my God, this guy has really got the goods. And I nicknamed him. And I think I talked to him, he says, hey, Shu, it's Quiet Storm. I call him Quiet Storm. He was like a Quiet Storm. He was very subtle with his humor. But, he was obviously he did very well for himself.
Did you get his autograph?
I don't know. I didn't do the – once I got into comedy, I didn't really – I do pictures.
Yeah.
That's the new autograph.
There you go.
You know, that's much more –
There you go.
Because then you can post it. You're not going to post an autograph on Facebook.
That's right.
I don't think so anyway.
Well, the thing is like – so what my girlfriend did was she got me the autograph and like, you know, then a year later he was on a show called Rules of Engagement, which my uncle was on. And I met him, and I told him, you know, my girlfriend got an autograph for me, and I'm a struggling stand-up comedian, and I'm very scared of being booed, you know. And that's another thing with Asperger's. You're like, you know, scared of talking to people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did, he's like, well, here's another autograph. He wrote, no boos. And he said, I want you to look at this. If I'm your really favorite comedian, I want you to look at this before every single show.
Wow.
Nice. And before every single show, to this day, I still look at that.
Really?
No boos. Like, I don't let... that get in my head.
Oh, you know, great.
You know, so
I never wrote a note for you 6 years ago.
Not like that. You said...
I would write, you don't suck.
You,
that's as good as no booze, isn't
you wrote, it? You wrote, Keith, thanks.
Oh, okay.
So, years later
I'm
on.
So original. Well, you know, with women, I sign differently.
Yeah.
I'll put XO. I give them a hug and a kiss. With the homophobic guys, you know, I don't want to do that.
You don't do that. XO is...
Do you ever give a girl, like, before you were married, do you ever give a girl, like, your number on an autograph or something? And then, like, 5 years later, you get a call and you're like, what's this?
I'm trying to think. I definitely have a little history of stuff. Don't know if that was one of them. I certainly have tried different methodology.
The Love Master.
I don't know if that was... some women have only wanted to be with the Love Master, not Craig Shoemaker.
Uh-huh. Oh, character thing.
Yeah. One time I talked this young lady. I talked to her and she was actually...
Sure.
And I feel bad about the story. Okay. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I talked her into... I actually took my penis out in the bar.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I said, oh, you've never touched anyone but your man. Yeah, I said, how would you like this? And she goes, and I kept, you know, I was doing the whole Love Master thing. And I talked her into going upstairs. And she obviously was feeling, I had to keep her going so she wouldn't feel bad about, you know, cheating.
Yeah.
So I'm there.
Yeah, press 12, baby. That's what I got under here, folded in half. Yeah.
So I'm doing the Love Master thing, and something happened. When we got into the room, I came out of character, and I went, and I was done. And I felt so bad. Here I made this. I had her all prepped. So you imagine this. She's probably thinking about to this day, you know, 20 years later or whatever. Oh, my God, I cheated on him with this guy that lasted 5 seconds. I don't even think I had two breaths, and I was done. And then you know how you want to get it up again. And second round were always great anyway.
Yeah.
She didn't have time. So that's my only dealing with her. I came out of character. No Love Master. I worked with a ventriloquist who said that he used to have women that would sleep with him only if the dummy would talk to them. I said it must have been rough if you. She said something about her pussy because ventriloquists can't pronounce their P's. Like if he was trying to say tap that pussy, he goes, I'm going to tap that pussy. I'm going to tap that pussy. Come on, take it all, that pussy. Yeah, with hot pussy. They say a T.
Sure.
God, did we rip on him with that control.
That's a great way to end the show.
Oh, really? I'm going to end on my dirtiest moment.
Just went away.
I was pretty clean today, by the way. I went on Stephanie Miller recently. Oh, my God.
So
we should listen to that one.
We could see you every Wednesday.
At the Canyon Club in Agora. But I am back on the road. I retired for a little while. Stand up, probably never been better. I'm just really feeling it right now. And CraigShoemaker.com.
CraigShoemaker.com.
And just go sign up there. The Love Master on Twitter.
Yes.
And we're going to get you followers right here because I'm going to tweet it like crazy.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go. There's our goal for
that's
the night.
Great YouTube.
That and I'm getting another free bottle of water.
Yeah, maybe a couple.
Well, thanks for doing it.
That
Craig.
Went fast.
Yeah.
Didn't it, though? Wow.
It's fun. Great. It's the show is never really, like, usually the first 10 minutes is, like, awkward. And then it's just fun.
I thought this was a slam dunk.
Yeah.
I told you.
This is awesome, man.
I saw the love.
Well, I've done these things before.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I appreciate you so much.
And
I'm
glad I came just to find out that I have Asperger's. I got that confirmed.
See, there you go.
By the way, do I get anything for that?
Oh, well.
What a bonus.
Do I get a handicap placard?
You could open.
Do you have a handicap placard?
No, but you could open for me if you want.
Really?
Oh, my God. What? He can't walk.
I'll send you a video. I'll send you a little tryout video.
Yeah, send him a tape. So
I think we should start an Asperger tour.
Let's do it.
Let's do an Asperger tour.
National.
I'm
take it national.
Why not? We would have a whole...
You, me, and Tom Arnold. He has us.
He has Asperger's?
There you go.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah.
But but the problem is the whole audience, if they're all Asperger's, they'd be afraid to clap because I don't want them to...
Oh, yeah, they'd be terrified.
No eye contact.
Yeah. No,
and they would remember every word of your act.
Well, we got to wrap things up. But follow Craig Shoemaker at Twitter at Love Master.
The Love Master.
The Love Master.
The Canyon Club in Agora.
Yeah, every Wednesday. Tomorrow night, Carlos Alazraki will be there, who's phenomenal. We have great headliners every week. And then I'm on tour coming up at the Ice House in Pasadena the third week of February, I believe it is. Come see me there. Come see the live show. Do 90 minutes. Oh, yeah. And it's I'm having a blast.
And the great Pat Laborio is opening for him right now.
That's right.
And I'm Keith Reza. Follow me on Keith Reza and tune in. Next week will be the season finale of Reza Riffs.
And I'm Alan Lee.
And come back. I think the mouse froze. Okay. Come back.
Yes. Wow.
You're listening to Reza Riffs with Keith Reza and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.